Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, one and all, good afternoon. My name is Tony Bullock, and I'm coming to you on Blog Talk Radio. We're here at West Side Visions, which started off as a blog, but became a weekly radio show. So here we are. And tonight, it's going to be a pretty hot show, so hang on, get ready, and this is how we gonna go down. Hello, my co-host.
Hello, Brother Tony. How you doing today?
I am fine, and yourself?
I'm doing well. This is gonna be an exciting show.
Yes, it is. And for those of y'all who don't recognize the voice, that is my co-host, my one and only, my fellow Tiger, Sister Eileen Reed. And
hey,
she will
everybody.
She will definitely be bringing the noise, because tonight we're going to talk about our former police chief and current mayor, Mr. Jerry Dyer. And let me put this out there right now. I'm going to give you a disclaimer. This is not a hit piece. This is not an attack. But what it is, is something that needs to be discussed. And I'm hoping that many of you will call in and check with us tonight, because hey, you need to know what's going on right here in the city of Fresno, California, better known as the No, or as some refer to it as Mississippi Fresno.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
So, Sister Reed.
Yes. Brother Tony, you know, it occurred to me when we were talking about doing this show that Fresnans have some sort of thing about law enforcement turning into mayors. I don't know how many people remember the TV show In the Heat of the Night, but, you know, the guy who played Bubba on that show ran for mayor, Alan Archie ran for mayor of Fresno and won twice, I believe.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
So I'm like, did this set some sort of precedent for Jerry Dyer stepping into this role? I don't know.
You know, it's funny you bring that up, because I remember I was living in Vegas at the time, but I just happened to have came home to visit that weekend, and he was speaking at George Washington Carver, the grade school that we had attended.
Right.
And so I made it my business to go around there that night and actually engaged in a conversation with him. And he stood there and made all these promises about how mayors before him had broke promises to the West Side. But he was all about being fair and equal. And he was going to bring businesses to the West Side. And he was going to bring innovation to the West Side. And as you saw, nothing transpired.
Right. That,
and from
that
what I understand, he no longer lives in Fresno. He lives in Albury somewhere up in the hills.
Wow. I'm not surprised by that. I had a couple of conversations with Alan Archer. I remember one, I was talking to him about some Fresno needs at a Hidden Center function, and he was sort of brushed me off, and he says, you know, folks like you complain. Yeah, he actually uses folks like you talking about me, complain about stuff, but you never do anything. And I told him, I said, well, the fact that I'm here talking to you means I'm doing something, because I am going to kind of call you on your stuff. And he got mad, you know, he stalked off, but oh, well, you know, as a public official, it's my job and my duty to say something, because our tax dollars pay his salary.
Exactly.
But yeah, man, it just occurred to me that
you know,
residents have this thing about law enforcement and mayors.
Yeah, they do. They really do. And it's you know, it's funny you bring that up because they do tend to lean, and you know, a lot of people don't realize that the Fresno is a Republican stronghold, and they tend to believe that old way of separate and not equal is the correct way, and that's kind of like the way they have been trying to do things forever and a day.
Exactly, and that's how Fresno got the nickname Mississippi Fresno, because if I recall correctly, Jerry Dyer ran on a very, very strong law and order platform when he ran for mayor, and it was under, if I'm remembering it correctly, it was under his leadership as chief of police that, you know, they were going to get tough on gangs and all of this. Jerry Dyer was chief of police for 18 years, and that's when you started getting legislature and local laws passed about gang affiliation, calling them validated gang members and things like that, that if you saw two or more gang members, you know, gathered, then that's a problem, and they started this gang task force. It was, you know, and who is are these alleged gang members, black and brown and Asian? So, yeah, this mindset that you're talking about, Brother Tony, been a long time percolating with Dyer and his crew.
Yes, and you know that comes to be true because I can remember, you know, coming back and forth between here in Vegas, and you would always hear about how, you know, Police Chief Dyer and his second in command and the police force basically was at war with gangs, but it was always at war with gangs on the west side.
Exactly.
Because they had deemed necessary that, you know, where I lived, which was the East Gates, which they called the U, oh, that was the worst place in the city.
Yeah, I remember.
The Dog Pound, which was over there off of Cowell, that was the worst place in the city. And those were the places that they were focusing on, but yet gangs on the east side and trouble on the east side and trouble up north, that area out there by Fresno State where the Asian gangs, where the Bulldogs operated, it was business as usual.
Right. We used to call that Sin City back in the day out by Fresno State.
But that was business as usual. But yet, somehow, those of us who lived on the west side was so treacherous. We were so organized and so much of a threat to the city.
Exactly. Yeah, they had to form a task force.
Yeah, they had to form a task force. And where Gaston sits now, that school that they're so proud of, that once my neighborhood, that was the East Gates. They tore down George Washington Carver to make Gaston, along with my neighborhood and the church that was back there and the store that was on the corner.
Lee's Mini Mar. We're going to be talking about gentrification tonight.
Along with
Mayor Dyer. So, folks, if you want to call in tonight and talk about these issues, Brother Tony, I'm going to give the number, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
The call-in number is 563-999-3043. So once again, that's 563-999-3043. And we hope y'all are going to, you know, make some phone calls because, you know, this topic is very near and dear to a lot of us who were born and raised mostly in Fresno. And it's hard to see something that you love being co-opted and torn down and turned into something else that's unrecognizable.
Exactly. And this brand new brand they have of not using the west side, but calling it the southwest side. I understand the connotations of that, where some of these national chains that they're trying to connect with might feel like the West Side has a certain issue to it. So the Southwest Side, maybe we can work with that. You know, with that being said, let's jump right into it, okay? Now, former police chief and our now mayor, Jerry Dyer, you know, people always wonder, well, who is this guy? Well, first of all, he was born here in Fresno, 1959, but his family moved to Fowler in 1964. So he attended school down there. He graduated from Fowler High. And what did he do? He went right over to College of Sequoias into the Post Training Academy. He was sworn in as, an officer of the Fresno PD May 1st, 1979. And that soon became a family affair because his father, who had previously served in the Madera Sheriff's Department, joined him at the Fresno PD, and his sister did also.
Wow. Family affair. Yeah.
Mm. It was definitely a family affair. And, you know, he stayed there and, you know, long enough to become the chief of police.
Yes, he did. And during his tenure, he had a lot of controversy that followed him during that tenure as chief of police.
Yes, he did.
Because I know for a fact that I remember when it came out that he had an affair while he was still a regular, you know, cop on the beat. He had an affair with alleged affair with a 16-year-old, an underage girl, and no charges were ever brought. Nothing was brought to bear. And obviously, it didn't derail his career in law enforcement.
Yes,
speaks to the kind of person we're talking about. That's all.
Yeah, according to him, he says, "Well, it was said that I had an affair with someone, but my wife forgave me, the force forgave me." And God forgave me.
Uh-huh.
And notice that they always play that role. Somehow, in the dirt they do, they find a way to slide God into God forgave me.
Well, yeah, because God's not talking to the rest of us about his behavior. But I just find it interesting the kind of things that have come up arose under his tenure. I mean, I know that there was a settlement about the hostile work environment that he created. I know that two female lieutenants, I believe they were lieutenants or captains, brought a lawsuit because of some racially and sexually inappropriate, comments that were made by him. And City Hall settled that lawsuit for like $200,000. And I believe it was Schaefer and Navarez were the officers involved. And that was just in 2016. I mean, that's not that long ago when you're talking number of years.
Yeah, they were two former chiefs who worked under him.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, the city had to settle for $200,000 collectively to both of them. That was a split between the both of them. And and you're exactly right. That's what it was for racially and sexually insensitive comments. And, that right there, that's crazy. But that also lets you know what was going on during the time he served, okay? Now, you mentioned that, but also, in 2017, his chief deputy was convicted for conspiring to distribute heroin and marijuana, of which Chief Dyer said he had no idea what was going on. He was unaware of anything that had happened.
Right.
But
now,
the man's office is right down the hallway from yours.
Just down the hall. And so it makes you wonder, like, well, what kind of law enforcement officer is unaware of what's going on right under his nose? The FBI had done all this surveillance on the deputy chief to bring those charges, but Jerry Dyer got off scot-free on that, and nobody held him accountable. And see, that makes me think of the nephew that he had that had problems with allegedly drug selling and things like that. And once again, Jerry Dyer had no knowledge of this nephew and the drugs that he was allegedly involved in selling and or using. So makes you wonder about this particular person and what their morals and values. But you know what gets me the most, Brother Tony, is that in that same year that his deputy chief was brought up on those drug charges, is the killing, and Reverend Harris mentioned this the other night, the killing of Isaiah Murrieta Golding.
Yes.
I believe he was 16 or 17. Anyway, he was a teenager.
He was 16 years old.
Yes, he was running away from Fresno PD officers, and they shot him in the head, killed him, and they said, and it was overheard that he said, good shot, after the officer that did the shooting. And so, you know, it just makes me wonder, what kind of person are we talking about who are in charge of these things happening on their watch?
Exactly. You know, they paid out $4.9 million to Isaiah's family. And, you know, the thing about that is that money is not going to bring Isaiah back.
Nope.
And one of the statements made by a city attorney was, well, you know, the fact that Fresno PD investigated and no one was found to have overstepped their bounds, you know, it was deemed justified.
That's the thing. Right.
Yeah.
But how can you justify a shooting when the suspect is running away from you and you and the officer was not in any immediate danger of,
exactly,
you know, to his personhood? And I'm saying that because the body cam showed this young man jumped a fence and was on the other side of the fence running away from the officer when the officer,
you know,
opened fire.
Yeah, and it was brought up that, well, maybe the shooting occurred because he was known to carry a gun. There was no gun found on this young man. He was unarmed.
Exactly. Exactly.
But
and
again,
so,
like you said, why was deadly force even thought of being used if this young man was running away?
Exactly. And this is all, you know, and nobody's trying to demonize Jerry Dyer. This was on his watch. So ultimately, the responsibility has to stop with him about what happens on his force. And, you know, this is not good. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out the disparities in the way the police are doling out, you know, punishment for alleged crimes. This was the same with Freddie Centino's family. They got a monetary payout as well, but it's not going to bring Freddie back.
No.
You know, and it's unfortunate that we even have to talk about this in 2023, that the police are not, there's no accountability. I really think that they need to take away immunity that police officers have and start holding them accountable for the deeds that they do while wearing a uniform.
Exactly. Well, in 2015, Cashmero Shane Casillas, I remember him hearing about it when I was in Vegas. I remember him being killed after allegedly leading the police on a car chase. Supposedly, he got out of the car and ran towards the officer, who then shot him three times. Okay.
Wow.
Now, they had to pay out to his family. But the officer who did the shooting left here with the San Luis Obispo and joined the sheriff's department.
That's what usually happens, Brother Tony. And that's one of the reasons why when people are talking about police reform, they really need to establish a registry. So that what that means is that this guy did not lose his certification to function as a police officer and was able to go and get hired somewhere else. And I actually was in a meeting with Jerry Dyer and some community members about the things that happened in Southwest Fresno. And I remember distinctly asking him about why is there not a registry established. And he says, well, you know, that's just not within my purview. You know, once they leave my department, I have no further involvement. He actually said this, folks. So it just goes to show you the mindset that we're talking about.
Yeah, and unfortunately that mindset plays out nationwide. Because as you have probably noticed, officers in Chicago, in Minnesota, down south, Louisiana, have shot and killed people on the job. And the next thing you know, they may go four or five towns over, or move to another state, and get right back on a police department or right back on a sheriff's department.
Exactly.
Like exactly. Nothing happened.
So people get upset, you know, when some of us are calling for police reform, but it has to be a complete overhaul. I mean, you know, they need to do better about who they're hiring, the training and all of that, because it's no mistake that these kind of violent actions are happening if you hire somebody who has a propensity towards violence. I mean, that's their wheelhouse. That's what they're going to do. And, you know, police officers make a pretty good salary for what they do. These are not people who are hurting for money or anything like that. But we need to do a better job of weeding out the bad ones and keeping the good ones. And this is from somebody who has law enforcement in my family. But it just so happens that my family member has the right kind of personality type that I think is more of a service to the community than a hindrance. So, but anyway, so that's just my little two cents worth. And it's not that I am anti-police, because I'm not. I mean, if something happens, you know, at my residence, yeah, I'm calling 911 and I expect them to show up. But the problem is when black folks do that or brown folks do that, you don't know what's going to happen when they get there. You
that's
might lose your
statement.
Life yourself.
Yeah, that is a true statement, because you can dial 911 nowadays and you end up being the victim when you
exactly.
are the one who called for help.
You know, that's right.
You know, and it's sad to say that. And, you know, it's funny that whenever we say that, the first thing you hear is, well, why are you guys trying to label all police enforcement like that? No, we're not trying to label them all like that. I, too, have had family members in law enforcement and have known some very decent ones on the forces here and nationwide. I had a relative, you know, who was part of the ATF.
Mm-hmm.
Even though that's federal, he had the right temperament, like you said.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And I'm not going to say that all minorities have that right temperament, because as it's been proven, just recently, some do not.
Mm-hmm. Some buy into,
I now have this badge, I now have this uniform, I now have this gun, and I can do just like these other guys and treat
exactly.
people the way I want to.
Right. Right. So it's not about ethnicity or race. It's about, you know, the individual person and whether or not they need to be having a badge and a gun and a uniform and let out into the community. It's this is going to continue to be a problem. I mean, even President Biden in his State of the Union address talked about he had invited the parents of Tyre Nichols and said, you know, the hard part about having to talk, you know, with the young people in the family and how he didn't have to have the talk because his children were not black. It's a powerful thing. Yes, it's a powerful thing, that, and we need to be more involved or be as involved as we can about these changes. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so happy to be co-hosting this show with Brother Tony, because somebody has got to keep up the drumbeat about how things are and how things need to change, because we all have to live in this world together. And it's important that we try to get along with each other and treat each other fairly and equitably. So,
you know, and you're right. You are absolutely correct with that statement that you just made. We have to try to get along correctly. And let me say again, this is not a hit piece on Mayor Dyer, but these are things that have taken place when he was the police chief and some things that are happening now that he's the mayor. And I realize we have a new police chief, but as the mayor and as the former police chief, he still carries a lot of power, and they still look to him for things to run a certain way.
That's right. I totally agree.
And that's a true statement. I understand that they brought in Mr. Ballard from Texas to be the new police chief. But I can tell you honestly, yes, he's the police chief to a certain extent. But I can guarantee you there are certain things that go down, and Mayor Dyer, just that phone call, hey, what do you want us to do?
Exactly.
Fresno works just like one of them southern towns down there where you had a certain group running everything, and when certain things went down, they called the mayor. They called the police chief, and there was a connection there, and it was like, hey, so what are we going to do about this?
So what are we going to do about it? That's right.
Mayor made the final decision, and that's what was done.
That's what was done. So you're right. We do have that situation in Fresno right now. So it's going to be up to citizens to, you know, continue to be full-body citizens and say, hey, you know, we don't like the way you're running things, or, you know, we have issues and we want to have things be better. Because right now I can't see any changes in Fresno so far as law enforcement, but I tell you what I do see is the gentrification going on in a certain part of our city, and I'm feeling some kind of way about it.
Yes, indeed, and I'm right there with you because, like you said, it is hard to watch something that you have grown up with, worked to help try to build up, to all of a sudden watch it get flipped, dipped, destroyed, and then all of a sudden here comes all this new stuff like, hey, we're here now.
Yeah. That's right.
We've been here decades ago.
Exactly.
And with that said, I'm just going to say it. Okay, so now, apparently, Mayor Dyer has made a deal with Starbucks to bring in a corporate community store and place it in West Fresno at the corner of Church and Martin Luther King, and that's to open in 2024. Starbucks, which we all know is coffee, but it's a Starbucks community store, so what is it going to sell? I mean, will you be able to get some kind of moderate grocery, kind of health supply? What is the type of Starbucks community store?
Exactly. And I wasn't familiar with it, so.
And here's my thinking. If you're bringing in a Starbucks community store, you mean to tell me, being the mayor of Fresno and holding the power that you hold, and I'll talk about some other things that he's into, but holding the power that you hold, you couldn't convince a grocery store or a corporation to build strip malls to put something over in that area? I mean, there's River Park.
Exactly.
You already know where River Park is. We couldn't get something that on that scale, but on a medium-sized scale, we couldn't find that on the west side anywhere, where our people can actually go to a grocery store, a pharmacy, a movie theater. We couldn't get anything like that.
Exactly.
We couldn't shop on our side of town.
And it's unfortunate that it's like that. I mean, if we're talking about coffee, I mean, there are independent coffee shops right here in Fresno. If they could not find a black-owned coffee shop or help create one, then why not use one of the independent coffee shops that's already here? I just don't get it. I really don't get it. But the problem that I have with gentrification, Brother Tony, is that it sucks the culture and the character out of neighborhoods and displaces the people who have been there for years.
Yes, it does.
It does not make sense to me. And this location that they're talking about, I'm trying to figure, is it going to be on, are they going to wipe out the West Gate at Hidden Center? Are they going to use part of the open field? I need to understand where this is going and who this is going to affect, because we already saw what they did with Carver. And
yes, we did. Yes, we did.
At least anyone. You know, when you talked about doing this show, I had to hunt through some of my things, and I found a list. And those of us who grew up on the West Side know that back in the 60s, the 70s, and maybe starting before that, there were at least 200 businesses and offices of professionals that were based in West Fresno, in Southwest Fresno. And, you know, if Brother Tony gives me a chance, I'm going to read off some of those, but it's just...
You go right ahead.
Okay, well, here I will. I'm going to go, and I made sure to circle some of these because I am not going to read them all, but I remember that there was Dr. Curry's office, Dr. Willie
yes.
Brown's office.
Yes.
There was Mellow Drive-In. There
yep.
was Marcus Pharmacy. There was Grave Upholstery.
Yep.
There was Hunt's Cafe. There was Fee Street Shell Station, the gas station
yep.
that now it's a A&M, I believe. Bad Boys Market.
Yep.
You know, Dr. Myers had an office over here. Hugh Goldwyn had an office over here. Just, you know, and that's just a few of the type of businesses that, you know, were on the West Side and now are not. I mean, there are a few that have been able to survive, and I'm thinking of, like, LaVera Williams, Pandas.
Pandas,
those
yeah.
Those have been able to survive, but... Very, very few left of all these businesses that were on the West Side and were thriving. Were thriving.
Yeah.
So,
I think about Cal's Market that's set up
yes.
by Edison.
Mm-hmm. Edison Mall Shop.
There
was
mall
a mall shop on that triangle of land across from Edison, and I remember that.
Oh,
from
yeah.
when we were in high school there, yes.
Yeah, the
so,
mall shop and then the bakery and the little pharmacy that sat there also up by Cowell's Market.
Exactly. Exactly.
And the
you know, and it's
right
unfortunate. Exactly. So this changes the face of a neighborhood and of a area. And I'm just going to throw the call-in number out there again. If anybody wants to weigh in and talk about these things, the gentrification of West Fresno, Southwest Fresno, call in at 563-999-3043 because I'd love to hear what you all have to say about this.
You know, and the other thing is, you know, I watch gentrification take place in East Oakland, East
mm-hmm.
Palo Alto, Las Vegas,
mm-hmm.
Nevada, Houston, Texas. In fact, I was talking with one of my relatives who lives in the Heights, and we were having this conversation of how the youth football team was having to battle with the group who didn't live in the area but had decided to buy rental property and then move in and try to take over all the fields that
the kids
were practicing football on and turn it into rugby fields.
Wow. You can't get more pointed than that.
Yeah. And that became a big thing. And I have to give a shout out to my sister-in-law, Marty Page. And she went to war behind that because she was the commissioner of the Youth Football League. And she went to war behind that. And she was saying, and they thought they could do this because they had a member of the city council on their side. You know, my son plays in these rugby leagues and they need places to practice. Well, how come you can't go practice out where you live?
Exactly.
Why are you coming over here trying to force our kids to give up what they got?
Exactly. And why do they do it? Because they think they can and because they think they can get away with it. And they're entitled. You know, that entitled, you know, white supremacy kind of mindset is at work in this.
The thing here is with the building of this satellite community college campus, it goes back to what you said. Will the Hinton Center survive? Are they going to take out what was old Pearly Grove and the West Gates? Will that become parking for the satellite campus?
Exactly.
You know, the thing about gentrification is, and I'm quite sure that when they do that, some developer from the north side is going to come up with some apartment duplex or some kind of condo, and I'm quite sure they're going to make it a modest price range to where
the
certain
students.
People can afford them, but those who have been in the neighborhood forever and a day going to have to try to find somewhere to go.
And that's how gentrification works. You push out the people who have historically lived there, and you bring in other folks. And it's unfortunate that it has to be like that because it's not that residents of this part of town that the West Side doesn't want improvements. I mean, we'd like a dry cleaners. We'd like a theater, a walk-in theater. We'd like coffee shops. I mean, we want all those things, but we want it done, as you say many times, Tony, proper and in order. You don't have to displace people who have historically lived here in order to do these things, but they feel, these developers feel that they can do that. And this is one of the reasons why, listeners, that Ron Bonta, the Attorney General of California, is going after the city council, because they keep doing stuff that's shady. Just like this, the old 41 corridor that they're trying to reindustrialize. And it's illegal. I mean, citizens made a point to de-industrialize that area in 2018. But money talks. And so Brother Tony is absolutely right. These developers have had too much of a free hand. And they're going to try to do this in Southwest Fresno. And folks, remember, high-speed rail is coming, and that is the engine, no pun intended, that is pushing this gentrification of our beloved West Side. It really is.
You know, and that right there, that high-speed rail. Now, you know, it's right now, it's kind of like dragging its feet. But the thing is, like you said, it is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about that is, how much of that profit or how much of that money will go to our side.
It
was like what I mentioned to you the other day about this business program all of a sudden that for Black History Month, they were going to work with Black businesses. And you mentioned it to me, something Visions.
Oh, right. Vision View.
Vision
out by
View.
The airport. Yes.
Exactly. Out by the airport. And what Tawfiq was like, when they made this statement about, yes, and some of this money will channel down to the black businesses across the city, especially in River Park. River Park, what black business? Now, unless I don't know, you know, because I'm not I don't hang in River Park. That ain't my thing.
Yeah, mine either.
I never bought
mine
into
either.
That. You know, and I'm mad that I have to go out there when I need my laptop looked at. That's the nearest place I can go.
Exactly.
And I thought, okay, well, if you're supposed to be working with black businesses, aren't there some black businesses on the west side and the southwest side and the east side, some minority businesses where this money can't trickle to? Where does a place like River Park up north, where does that fit in? They got everything already. They got what they need.
I remember you talking about this, and I agreed with you completely. And it's interesting that we're talking about this because I was surprised and had my mouth open about the Black Expo that happens at River Park and how so many black events seem to be migrating north and out of the west side. So it's a drain. It's a cultural drain when these things happen. And, you know, those of us who love Southwest Fresno, love the West Side, we are going to keep talking about this. We're not going anywhere.
Nowhere.
Our part of the city is just as important as any other part of Fresno. So since we're last in development, so now these are the kind of things that are going to be brought in. Our neighborhoods are going to be wiped clean, and you're going to bring in businesses that we don't necessarily want. Even when we tell you we want something different and the city and developers are going to go ahead and do whatever they want, this is a continuing problem. We're not going away, Brother Tony. You and I are going to continue to talk about these issues.
Oh, no, we're going to continue to hang. We're going to continue to hang. We're going to continue to bring stuff to the forefront, whether people like it or not. We are going to do it.
We're going to do it.
And when I see something that I think don't look right, I'm going to have something to say about it. And I know there are some out there who don't like it, but that's how it goes.
Oh, well, you know, those of us who are from the West Side, we paid our dues. You know, we had redevelopment in the 70s come and wipe out entire neighborhoods, you know, took people's homes. And I know on my street where I live, not that far from King School, there were at least 4 or 5 houses that were condemned and torn down because the families couldn't afford to do upgrades. I was lucky and blessed because my father worked in construction, and we didn't have a lot that had to be done to our house. But I remember my father having to pay for improvement to the gutters that we have out front of our house because it used to flood all the time over here. But the city of Fresno made my dad pay for part of that. So, you know, we're invested. We are invested in Southwest Fresno. We love the West Side.
The West Fresno Redevelopment Agency. The promises that was made was we're going to come to West Fresno and we're going to build stores. We're going to build homes and apartments. And we're going to, you know, correct the schools over here. But what they did was ran the okey-doke. Like you said, they condemned homes. A lot of those places where they tore down homes and tore down businesses, those lots are still empty today.
Come on, tell it. Tell it, brother.
And nobody on the city council, the county council, the mayor's office, none of these folks have stood up and been honest about doing anything.
Exactly.
With that said, you know what? We're going to bag it up for a minute because, you know, I was sitting here and I was thinking back, you know, when I first came back to Fresno and how you got me involved and stuff, let's take it back to 2020 and 2021. 2021,
okay.
the mayor's race.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, come
the
on.
The mayor's race, okay? So we had Jerry Dyer,
mm-hmm.
Andrew Jans, Pastor uh-huh. Floyd Harris.
Right.
And
Nicholas Wildstar.
What was his name? Wildstar.
Wildstar. And then there was somebody, there was another brother. Oh, gosh, I almost said his name. But yeah, there were at least four or five. And then there was a Latino gentleman. It was like five people.
Yeah,
or six people of the race. Yes.
And I can remember going to a couple of debates, and I'm just going to say it. Police Chief Dyer very rarely showed up.
Nope.
And,
he did
and
not.
Each time Pastor Floyd Harris called him about debating, he dodged the bullet.
Yeah, he did. He
found some excuse. He never
That's
would debate him.
Nope.
And you know him and Andrew Jans can say what they want, but you know it has been said that Andrew Jans jumped into the race to siphon votes away from Pastor Harris.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that at all.
Who tied for third with a gentleman in the race, but Pastor Harris had a good showing.
Yes, he did. He had a very good showing.
Every time that is brought up, the first thing you hear is, well, no, there was no collusion on our part. I don't know why anybody would do that. But why is it that Andrew Jans is now the city attorney for Fresno?
Thank you, Brother Tony. Isn't that interesting how that worked out for both Jerry Dyer and Andrew Jans? Yes. So Andrew Jans jumped from being a prosecutor in the district attorney's office working for the county all the way to City Hall working for the mayor, his political opponent.
Man.
In the mayor's race. Yeah,
yes,
that's
he did.
A big jump. Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did.
That is a big jump. And it's,
that
and
is
it's
a
interesting.
Big jump.
That is a big jump. So
the city attorney they had somehow one was fired, one left, and now all of a sudden Andrew Jans is in that office.
Exactly. And you know, we're talking about this, and folks, if you're listening, this is the way that Fresno works. And it stinks. I'm just going to say that it stinks. There has to be some new air and some new blood flowing through the city to make things better for the young folks who are coming up behind us. Because believe you me, some of us have been fighting this fight for a long time and will continue. But the thing is, if we want things to be better for the young people coming up behind us, we have to do something about this and change the way business is done in Mississippi Fresno.
Sad but true. It must be done. And
yes.
Again, this is not a hit piece, but it
nope.
definitely is telling the truth about things that are already out there on record. And for those of you who may be listening, or let me tell you this up front, you know, you may not call in, but you can listen to our show anytime you want to, because it is on Blog Talk Radio. You just go in, type in Westside Visions Online in there, and it will pull up the show for you. So you can listen to the show at your convenience.
Yes. Yes. And we hope you do, because for people who are not familiar with the West Side, it's important that you understand the history so that you'll understand why we're talking about this. You know, if you're from out of state or out of town or a different part of Fresno, you might not understand the memories and the love and the camaraderie ship that those of us who are from the West Side have for this area of the city. You know, Brother Tony and I are both graduates of Edison High School. And, you know, I think it's safe to say for those of us who are Tigers, you know, we're Tigers for Life, and that's never going to change. So we're going to continue to advocate and fight for what's best for West Fresno and South.
And I will be fighting to that last breath because, you know, I think back to what Sister Shy Joy said the other day when she was on with. She was, she was a graduate of Edison. She's a Tiger also.
Yes.
And during her time when they was there, they had that motto, one tiger, many stripes.
Mm-hmm.
So I can tell you where that came from. That was that policy down there at the school board. Well, now that we're busing white kids over there, you know, we need to come up with something that everybody's going to accept. As you know, when we were at Edison, it was a whole different groove.
It was a whole different vibe because
it was
a
whole
us.
Different vibe and a whole different groove.
Yeah.
And one of the things that still stick in my craw was school board member Keith Chung, who had the nerve to say, well, you know, they're like birds in a gilded cage. No, brother, we are black folks who know what we need to do and know what we're supposed to be doing, and that's what we do. We're not going to allow you to walk on us.
Exactly. I remember that. I remember Keith Chung very well. And I remember, you know, yes, going down to school board meetings and having our voices heard. And that fight continues because this type of institutionalized racism that nobody wants to talk about, we did you and I did a show about it not too long ago about CRT. This is not something that's in the past, y'all. This is something that is going on right now. The struggles that we're going through with the Starbucks community store and the gentrification of Southwest Fresno, it's all based on a mindset that that other people can come into our neighborhoods and do whatever they want. And, you know, I might not be able to stop it, but I'm sure enough going to be talking about it. We're going to be beating that drum about this for a while. And I commend Brother Tony for coming up with this show tonight because I'm like, yeah, let's do this. Let's do it.
You know, and I'm going to be honest, you know, I can give Mayor Dyer some credit for bringing something to the West Side, okay? You know, my grandmother used to say, nothing's a failure but a try.
That's
true. And you understand that. But now let's go down this lane, all right? Now, they announced this Starbucks opening in 2024. I saw someone standing there with Mayor Dyer, Pastor Greiner, who is the pastor of St. Rest. It ain't St. Rest that I knew, because when I was new, when I was at St. Rest, Chester Riggins was the pastor, and it truly was a community church. And
yes,
Pastor Riggins had time for everybody. He wasn't making deals with nobody. But let's get into that. So Pastor Greiner, B.T. Lewis, they seem to be the mayor's go-to guys for the Southwest side.
Yeah.
And as you know, there's a lot of new and improved things going on over at St. Rest.
Yes, indeed. A lot of construction. Yes, a lot of money being spent.
So,
and poured into
that institution. My question is, so is Pastor Greiner done sold out? And I'm just going to say it. Has he sold out?
That's a good question.
Okay.
That's a good question.
Has my man B.T. Lewis sold out?
Well, I know he is officially a liaison between the city of Fresno. I don't know what that entails. But it's important to ask these questions because if you are talking to these people who hold the purse strings and the power for this city, and they're talking about this Starbucks community store, did you try to make sure that Southwest Fresno black teens and brown teens are going to get hired in this location? How many jobs are going to be involved? Will it be a union location? These are things that need to be asked, and I just wonder if Kreiner and Lewis are asking these questions.
you know what? You bring up a very strong point because, you know, I'm thinking about what you just said. Employees, will it be a union position? But will our kids, will the people, the young folks in those neighborhoods have access to those jobs? Or will will it be one of those stores where everybody that works there drives in from somewhere else?
Hello. That's what I'm talking about, Brother Tony. That's what I'm talking about.
And it's not like we haven't seen it happen before.
Oh, hello. It happens every day for the people who work at City Hall and downtown, and that's why our freeways are clogged up, because they're trying to get the hell out of Dodge, you know, when it's time to get off. I mean, there's so much opportunity and talent and drive for people who, you know, with the people who live on the West Side. And our kids want an opportunity to have those jobs as well. You know, and I'm just going to say it. I'm asking the same thing about the construction crews who are building that satellite City College.
Exactly.
You know, how many black folks are on those construction crews?
Exactly.
Exactly. So I'm so glad that we're talking about this, because it's important.
It's very important.
So who's looking out? Who's looking out for the people that live over here? You know, these are the things that. And it's not that we're trying to do a slam on Pastor Griner or BT Lewis either.
No.
We're asking questions that have to be asked because there's too much at stake. These questions have to be asked. So we're happy to do
that. I'm not trying to do a slam on anybody, but I am asking questions because if you can stand up and tell people on the West Side and the Southwest Side, please don't go out to River Park. Please don't go out there rioting. But yet, when Pastor Harris asked you to stand with him and we're protesting some action to where a young black man or a young brown man has been mistreated, but you guys want to stand back and say, well, no, I can't do that. No, I can't be seen with Pastor Harris.
Exactly.
I'm trying to understand here.
Exactly.
Why is it that we don't have a Black Mysterio Alliance standing together?
That's an excellent question, Brother Tony. Here we go. That Ministerial Alliance, where are they in all of this? Where are they? Oh, man, that's a good question. Brilliant.
See, back in the day, you know, and I'm not trying to, you know, things change, but back in the day, man, look here. You know, like I know, we had some old school pastors that when they got together, things happened. The earth moved.
Yes. That's right.
And they got involved.
That's right. Well, that was, you know what, and that was what the Black church was all about. You know, when we were coming up, when we were kids, you know, whatever your need was, whether it be food or prayer or whatever, you know, you go to your pastor in your church first, and, you know, you could find some respite and some relief, but apparently it's a new day now, and, you know, the churches are just not working like they used to. And I have to say that Free AME, that is based in social justice, is one of the few churches in Fresno that are meeting basic needs for people, so... It's but I digress. And that's one of the things that I so enjoy about doing the show with you, Brother Tony, because we ask those questions. You know, you're very good about pointing out that these questions have to be asked. And so we do it.
And that's all it is. I'm just asking questions. And, you know, you just said something that I'm going to be honest about. Yes, Floyd Harris is the pastor at Free AME. But one thing he does do, as today, this Thursday, what did they do from 11 or from 10 to 1? Food giveaway. Food giveaway and COVID tests. And COVID tests, food giveaway, and prayer.
That's right. That's right. And I'm sure they had some clothes out there. They had some diapers out there for those who needed it. And this is the kind of ministry that we need. You know, we need an action kind of ministry. And
exactly.
So we'll see what the development is going to be in the future for what's happening at the new St. Russ. But in the meantime, people are still suffering.
You know, and it brings me back, and I'll just say it. Even though Pastor Harris was Mayor Dyer's political political rival,
mm-hmm.
he is somebody who has his finger on the pulse of the neighborhoods in the Southwest
yep.
side. He knows
That's
what's
true.
Going on. He is somebody
exactly.
that Mayor Dyer ought to be working with. I'm going to just be honest
he
about
should
it.
Be. Now, oh,
he
you didn't hit it on
he
the
ought
head
to be
now.
Working with.
You didn't hit
because
it on the head now.
Pastor Harris has his, you know, he sees a lot. He hears a lot. People come to him with different mm-hmm. things. This is
That's
an
right.
opening to what's really happening in the community. So you need to put
exactly.
aside this other stuff and really work
mm-hmm.
together. The truth
exactly.
of the matter is.
And I'm sure Reverend Harris would welcome a phone call from Dyer and wanting to discuss how to make things better.
Exactly. You know, the truth of the matter is the mayor doesn't need yes people. You don't need yes people. You don't need people to, yeah, you're doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing. You need people who are going to tell you the truth and
exactly.
work with you to get the right thing done.
That's
and
right.
And like I said, this is not a slam on the mayor.
Nope.
These are just things that need to be pointed out.
We're trying to help him. We're trying to help him so that he can help those of us who happen to live on the West Side, have children who go to school on the West Side. You know, this is important. And so don't just support three-quarters of Fresno, Mayor Dyer. Support all of Fresno. You know, he ran on a one Fresno, you know, ticket. Pastor Harris was talking about a united Fresno. That was part
exactly.
of his platform. He's a uniter, not a divider. And so when things like this happen in our neighborhood that we didn't really have anything to do with, you know, and it's so easy for folks in positive, oh, well, you know, we have so-and-so and so-and-so, and they're black. And so, you know, it was okay with them. Well, hello. We are not a monolith. You know, we have various opinions, and we want those various opinions heard. That's all we're saying.
You are absolutely correct about that, because you are right with that statement right there, that a lot of people figure, well, you know, I know Joe over there. He's my black friend, and he said, yeah,
mm-hmm.
you know, Joe, but you don't know me.
Exactly.
You don't know what I'm thinking.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And so we got to continue to have these conversations and talk about this, and we want things to get better.
Yes, we do. And I can tell you honestly, I will be reaching out. You know, I'm going to reach out to some folks and say, oh, maybe we can get one of them to speak with us one night about some things. Who knows?
That'd be great.
Like my grandmother said, nothing beats a failure but a try. So, hey, I'm willing to do that, because no story should be one-sided.
No. No, and we want to hear everybody else's side, and we want to know, you know, who these developers are that's bringing all this in. Who is Mayor Dyer working with that's telling him that this is what the West Side wants? Not just needs, but wants, because I can tell you that the last thing that I want is a Starbucks community store that is not going to hire people that look like me, and I don't want to spend my money in a place like that. I really don't, and I won't. And I like Starbucks, but I will keep my money in my pocket and go to an independent coffee place before I would spend my money there. Yes.
And, you know, again, with this satellite campus, I'm, you know, I believe in education. Always have. I am the uncle and great uncle of some HBCU graduates, some PWI graduates, and PWI, predominantly white institutions. So, you know, I don't have a knock on the like campus, you know, but I do have some questions. Like Mr. Reed said, I do have some questions about what's going to stay, what's going to go, who's building over there.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again,
you know, I would love to find out what Sister Brunette Harris's take is on this. I've asked her to come on different shows, and she is reluctant to do the kind of back and forth that we're doing. But for those of you who know Sister Brunette Harris and know this is a sister that has tried to hold the city of Fresno accountable about their general plan and their updated specific plans and how things are run, because West Fresno had money siphoned off for years, and that money has been spent in different parts of the city. So now they're spending money over here, but is it being spent the way that the people want? And this is important because, come on, folks, we got to pay taxes over here too. You know, our property values might not be what they are on the north side, but we love our properties just as much, and we're paying taxes and insurance on them. So these issues are important to us. People want to say, oh, well, you know, they don't care. You know, they don't vote. And this is one of the reasons why we have to vote, so that we don't get an administration like the one we have now at City Hall that is not listening to the people. It's not listening to the people.
That is a true statement. You know, and I think back to when Brother Danny Golden decided to run for mayor. And Danny Golden was an on-air personality, and he worked at Channel 30 at that time.
Okay.
He was at Channel 30. And, you know, Brother Golden was real cool. You know, you see him in the community. He was very personable, speak. Good brother.
Yes.
And
yes.
I remember an on-air reporter who was good friends with the current mayor making this statement about, well, yeah, you know, Danny is running, but, you know, as you know, he talks with a lisp. And I was like, what's up with the character assassination? Why you gotta try to point that out instead of talking about what the man is, instead of talking about what the man's platform is and what he's standing on? And unfortunately, people bought into that. Oh, he talks with a list. He must not be intelligent. They bought into that.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. You know, it's bringing back stuff about Reverend Harris. I remember somebody coming up to me during that campaign and saying, well, why is he running for mayor? Why doesn't he start off smaller like city council? Really? Really? This is somebody who's already been an elected official in the West Fresno School District. So he understands how these things work. So why not run for mayor and try to bring Fresno together? But this is the thing. They take one thing that they think, you know, just trying to pick him apart. But I knew Brother Golden, and he was married to some really close neighbors of mine, one of their daughters, and just a nice person. He married Carolyn, good people. Good people.
Because I remember we had a class over at Edison that was radio TV production, and two, three times he stopped in, you know, and talked with us and gave us pointers on, you know, working with cameras and things of this nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he was a friend of Mr. Hall, Smokey Hall.
Okay, right.
You know, and I thought that was just real cool. But you know, back in the day, we used to get that. There were people in the neighborhood. I can remember somebody rolling up on me one time. not too long ago, and we were talking about Edison, and they go, well, yeah, you know, it's really come a long way because you guys have a marching band now. And I looked at them and said, I hate to tell you this, but we had a marching band back in the day. They used to practice in the neighborhoods, but then the city decided, the school board decided to cut the band money.
Exactly.
That's how we came up with the jazz band that played at our football games, who was directed by Brother Stanley McDonald.
Stanley McDonald, Audrey McDonald.
And one thing was a fact. That band was on hit, and they would outplay a full band with no problem.
See? But it just goes to show you that they just assume. They just assume. I remember when Edison had a full marching band. I remember that very well. Mm-hmm. So these are the things, you know, that people might think that we're making this stuff up, but we don't have to make it up because we lived it.
We lived it.
Yes.
We lived it. You know, and like I said, this wasn't a hit piece on the mayor and former police chief, but it was honest. And nothing we said is not nothing that someone can't pick up a paper or get online and find for themselves.
This is true. So here's my thing, Brother Tony. I just want to say to the listeners that there is still, 2 years left in Mayor Dyer's tenure. There's a lot that he could do for West Fresno if he would, and not because he thinks it should be done. He should need to talk to the people and listen to what the residents want. You know, don't come in and tell us, come in and ask us, and then do the things that we tell you that we need, not because you think that's what we need. That is a big problem, and that's why I encourage all my brothers and sisters to register and vote. Register and vote. Please register and vote, because it does make
sir.
A difference. If it didn't, you know, they wouldn't keep trying to make it hard for us to do that in various parts of the country, because the way things are going now, we might not have an opportunity to do any voting. The way that, you know, our neighborhoods and our communities are being squeezed right now with the current state of the House and the Supreme Court and the federal courts, black folks are going to have to get real creative about survival. And so that being said, I'm hoping that people will register and vote. I can't say that often enough. You know, that's part of my personal drumbeat. And Brother Tony, I'm just glad to have the opportunity to talk about these things, because Southwest Fresno is never going to die. The West Side is never going to die. The foundation that was laid down by our parents and our grandparents, we have to try to preserve that. And this show is part of that. This is part of the West Side. West Side Visions is part of that. So.
That was one of the very reasons why this show got the name it got. Because, you know, I'm West Side till I die.
Hello.
I don't care where you put me. When I lived in Texas, they used to hear me say that. And they was like, what are you talking about? If I got to explain it to you, you won't understand.
Mm-mm. It was the same for me when I lived in the Bay Area doing postgraduate work when I was in law school. I told people where I went to high school, and they were like, Edison, oh, yeah, I've heard of Edison. Really? Yeah, because we're that good. Edison.
Oh, yeah, we are known nationwide.
Yes, we are.
We are known
nationwide.
We are. Now, one of the things we talked about earlier, you know, you kind of made mention of it, was how they tried to industrialize the West Side. That's something we definitely have to fight against. And I'm going to say this, Mayor Dyer, if you do anything, I want Darling Plant gone. It has to go.
Yeah, it has to go.
We've been smelling that for decades, for eons.
Yeah.
Ever since I was in grade school, it has to go. And I know that the city and the county has this big-time contract with it, and, you know, you got X amount of years left. But, look, you are taking away the life of people on the West Side by 10 years with that plant in operation. It has to go. You need to shut it down.
Do that, Mayor. Do that. Listen to Brother Tony Bullock and do that. And see, that's how you build trust with people. You do the things that you know is beneficial to them. Do that. I hope that he hears you. I hope that he does it.
Oh, I'm quite sure that at some point, some representative from the city perusing will come across this and be like, wait a minute, is this what they talked about? Who are these people? Because you know how it works here. You know how it works here.
I certainly do.
You know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. You know how it works here.
That's true.
You know, I think back to my younger brother. You know, you and I were lucky. We went to Carver. We went to Irwin. We went to Edison. The one thing I can proudly say is every person, me and my siblings, we all graduated from Edison. The one thing my dad believed in, and I'll never forget this, the one time I did have that little crazy thought in my head about going to school across town, my dad looked at me and said, look here, you can get an education on the west side. You've been getting an education on the west side. You will continue to get your education on the west side. So just get ready to march on up there to Edison, young man.
Exactly.
That was the end of it.
And that, hey, I had a similar conversation with my mom, and she said, listen, after you graduate from Edison, you can do whatever you want. You know what? You just study hard and do your best. And if you want it bad enough, you're going to get it. And that's exactly how it went. You know,
but the truth of the matter is, that was the best thing happened to us.
Yes, it was. It was. Because I tell you, my first year at Fresno State was a rude awakening about how much that I didn't know. And I had to dig deep and dig hard to keep my grades up and do all that because I didn't get it at Edison. And it's not that the teachers didn't care about us. It's that the school board didn't care about us, didn't invest Edison with resources and all the things that we needed. But you know what, Brother Tony? We came out stronger on the other side.
We did.
And this is that's the legacy that we want people to understand and why we continue to fight for West Side. West Side till I die. Tiger for life.
Tiger for life. But, you know, we realize that you just said something real important. Our resources. Our resources was light years behind everybody else in the city.
That's right.
But I give the teachers we have credit because they went above and beyond.
Yes, they did.
They went above and beyond. And they did. They taught us not just
and
from that book. Not just from that book. We got life lessons.
Yeah, we did.
One of my teachers was Mr. Smith. And you know Mr. Smith.
Noel Smith. Yes, I do.
Mr. Smith, you used to tell us all the time, I am the captain of this ship. You are my crew. And you will do as I say do.
Oh, that's I can see him with his black glasses. I can see him saying that now.
Yes.
Yep.
Mr. Smith was a guy. He was hard, but he was fair.
Yes.
Penny Meridian was hard, but she was fair.
But she was fair. Hey, I'm telling you, it makes all the difference. Michael Harris.
Yes. Smokey Hall.
Smokey Hall. I mean, these are teachers who pour a lot of themselves and their passion into us. And it made me the person that I am today. The things that I learned at Edison, I treasure it. I really do.
I wouldn't trade that in for nothing in the world. And there was another cat when I was playing JV ball, he was one of my coaches. He was also my driver's ed teacher, but Mr. Aha Janian, look here.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, he was a trip. Now, that was a personality. You know, him, I remember him very well. I remember Bill Clark very well.
Coach Clark. Oh,
Bill
yeah.
Clark was something else, and he was a great teacher. So, no, we had some really good people. John Shuster, who started off as like, I remember him being the dean of boys at Irwin and ended his career being a principal at Edison.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, you know, made quite a commitment to Southwest Fresno. And this is a brother who, you know, throughout his career made decisions for the school that, I mean, he told me about some death threats that he got in.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
he did. He had his ups and downs.
He had his ups and downs,
but he came through in the end.
Yeah, he did.
You know,
he really did.
And I would be remiss not to give a shout-out to my drama teachers, Cheryl Vermillion and Mrs. O'Brien.
Yeah.
Both of them was the bomb.
Yes. Yes.
You know.
So we had a good boy at Edison, and they really made a good foundation for us. They really did.
And my senior year, when we had Mrs. Agrava as the drama teacher, I can remember Fresno High, McLean, Bullitt. You know, we were all using the community theater. And I remember we were doing a program with all of them, and they thought they were just going to walk over us. Mrs. Agrava was like, the devil is alive.
Yeah.
She had us on point and was ready. And it was like me, Melba Jackson, Jimmy Ricks, better known as Brother X, Brian Bradley, Richard Burks, Greg Melikon. There was a bunch of us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We had, you know, the thing about Edison was we always had not quite enough, but we always had what we needed to get stuff done. And we learned how to run the soundboards, the stage lights. We learned how to do all of that stuff. And we did it all. We were back and forth. Now, I was one of the actors, but I knew how to run the soundboard, the lights. We learned how to lift the curtain and lift the lift. We learned how to do all of that because we had to be self-sufficient. That's what we learned at Edison. That's what we learned at Edison.
And see, this is what we were trying to tell and share with listeners that, you know, we understand about resiliency. We understand about what it takes to survive. And but now, you know, it's time to not just survive. It's time to thrive. And this is what we want for Southwest Fresno. This is what we want for the West Side. We want it to thrive, but we want it to thrive in a healthy, purposeful way, not have it be one-sided. I mean, you know, when I got this list from Reverend Harris several years ago with over 200 professional offices and businesses that were in Southwest Fresno, you know, a lot of people probably don't believe it, but it's true. I remember these places. I remember the Exxon station that was at MLK and Church. You know, all these places that used to exist and now are gone. You know, Sunset Drive-In. I mean, just all these places that are gone
Sunset
now.
Sunset Drive-In.
But oh, yeah, it was just a different place to live. And really for a young kid like we were, it was wonderful. You know, we saw adults running their own businesses and doing things in the community and working together. And we saw strong pastors like, you know, Reverend Garrett, that was my pastor at Mount Pleasant coming up. I mean, these are all things that we experienced, and now it's almost a wasteland in some respects. You know, we
got
liquor stores on every other corner, but we don't have family-owned markets anymore.
No, we don't.
Something's got to change, and so we're going to keep beating this drum about this, and hopefully people are going to listen.
And the people that need to listen are the people who are in charge of the city. Like I said, this is not a hit piece on Mayor Dyer, but Mayor Dyer is a guy who is the last bastion of control in the city.
Mm-hmm.
He gets to have
the
last voice, him and the city council. And my thing is, after all these years of denial of businesses on the West Side, major shopping, major corporations coming in, Right. There's no reason, you know, there's no reason why the West Side shouldn't look just like out north with housing developments and with strip malls.
Exactly. Even Southeast Fresno is more developed than Southwest Fresno. And why is that? So we need to be having a conversation about how we can do this in such a way that it's going to benefit long-term residents and any new incoming residents. We want to preserve the character and the culture of Southwest Fresno, and I don't think that's the wrong thing to want. I really don't.
No, it's not, because we have a right to survive just like they do.
Exactly.
And when I say they, I'm just talking about the South Air North. You know, when you turn that corner downtown, coming through downtown, and when you turn that corner on Blackstone and start heading north, you notice how things start to change. Now, at one time, Manchester Center was the place. Well, then, okay, yes. So as you know, now you go through there, and Manchester is kind of like little second-rate stores now. Everybody from Manchester, then it was Fashion Fair. Okay, now Fashion Fair still has some big-time stores, but it ain't what it used to be.
Nope.
Now, what's the thing? River Park and that
River
place
Park.
Towards Clovis.
Yes. Yeah.
And when you go out there, you see all these different housing complexes. You see the homes being built. You see the major chains nationwide that you don't see anywhere near the West Side.
Exactly. And it's unfortunate because there's so much need and desire for things to be different. I would love for there to be a bookstore, a major chain bookstore in downtown Fresno. And, hey, I would love to see it on the West Side, but I'm sure that that's not going to happen. But I remember when there was a religious bookstore over on Walnut, near Walnut and Church. And
it
was
right on the corner of Walnut and Church.
Thank you.
Yep.
And they were in business for years.
For decades.
So this is not that West Fresno, we spend money, but it's like many have said, a dollar that in West Fresno gets turned over maybe once before it leaves the West Side and goes somewhere else. We need to be spending our dollars in our own neighborhood. And things will get better, yes, if we can do that.
But, you know, we should have an opportunity to spend our money in our neighborhood just like they do.
Exactly.
You know, it's amazing that, you know, if we don't go to Food Max, what happens? We have to travel to the other side of town.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
To find a Winco, to find a Costco. To find a Walmart. And Walmart is just like 7-Eleven, but you won't find one on the West Side.
No. Hey, if you want a Walmart, a Super Walmart in the West Side region, you got to go all the way to Kerman. They got one out there. They have them on the southeast side of town. Off of Kings Canyon, yeah, they've got it over there, Kings Canyon and what, I think it's Cedar or Chestnut. So our money is being, you know, used in different parts of the city, but we need to keep it right with us and with our people. But I know this is, I tell you, our arms and our lungs might get tired of saying this, but we're going to continue to say it. You know, West Side, the Golden West Side till I die. That's what I'm going to be fighting.
Yeah, like I said, I I don't want to see it industrialized, and I know there's a big push to do that to our side of town. But, you know, like you said, we grew up on this side of town, and we know what it was and what it can still be.
That's right.
And that is a fight that, you know, I'm going to stand on that hill every day.
Exactly.
I'm going to stand on that hill every day. Yes, I stand with Pastor Floyd Harris and his folks over at AME, that Social Justice Church that does a lot of work in the communities.
Mm-hmm.
And my question today is, why ain't more of you doing it?
See,
that's just an honest statement,
and that's a good question to ask. You know, when we look at ourselves in the mirror, can we say, you know, that yeah, we stood with Brother Harris, and we tried to make things better for the Southwest Fresno. I mean, these are very simple questions to ask. You know, are you on the right side of this question? This is important. So. Go ahead and ask it, brother, because it's important.
Yeah, for the people out there who think, wow, they're coming down hard on the mayor. No, we're not coming down hard on the mayor, because I realize that when you run for office and, you know, politics makes strange bedfellows.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize that, you know, there are certain things he must do. But all I'm asking is do the right thing. Like Spike Lee say, do the right thing.
Exactly. For all
do
the
right thing. And it is time. Exactly. It is time for the right thing to be done in Southwest Fresno. But as I say, West Fresno. It's been a long time coming. A long time coming. And it is time for us to get our just dessert.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Well,
I agree.
We done beat the drum. We done stood on the soapbox. We done threw apples.
Yes,
you know,
indeed. No rocks,
and
apples.
And I will say again, this was not a hit piece on our current mayor. This was not a hit piece on the city council or anybody else. Again, nothing I said was a lie. It's all printed. It's out there. So, again, there are some changes that can be made in Fresno, and it's time for those in power to be honest about it and do what's right.
Absolutely. I agree.
Not just pick and choose what folks they can work with on the Southwest side, but to include the Southwest side.
Exactly.
You need to hear from the people who live there.
Mm-hmm. That's
so,
right.
Sarie, you got anything else you feel like you really need to say tonight?
No, I think I've said everything that I could say about Mayor Dyer and gentrification. So I just want to leave folks with what I always say, that I ask them to please stay black till we get back.
Yes, sir. That's 100. And like I always say, each one, reach one, each one. Those of you who are proficient with your weapons, take your folks to the range. Get them taken care of. Get them trained up. Get them registered. Start a neighborhood watch. Start a cop watch. Watch the people who are watching us. You know, tonight we talked about our neighborhoods, and our neighborhoods are still important. We talked about the people of our neighborhoods. Our neighborhoods are important. Our young ones, our seniors, our working class are important. We need the same amenities that the other side of towns have.
Yeah.
So, folks, vote. Go to the polls. Your vote matters.
Yes.
And like I always say, I'll holler. Sister Reed, you have a pleasant night, and I'll holler at you later.
All righty.